Well, these are some intense readings that we have. You always know we're getting close to the start of Advent, the start of a new liturgical year, when we start hearing about the end of the world in our readings. We hear about the apocalypse. And it's pretty dramatic stuff. The sun being darkened, the moon failing, the stars falling from the sky, the powers of heaven shaken. Our first reading from the prophet Daniel, who does a lot of apocalyptic prophecies, we hear it'll be a time unsurpassed in distress from the history of the world until then. Now, in our gospel, you know, what Jesus is talking about, if you're like me, you might be wondering, well, wait a minute. Jesus said that that generation would not pass away before all of this took place. So it's been 2,000 years, and, the sun is still up there. The sun rose this morning. The stars were still there last night. We saw the moon. So what gives? Was Jesus wrong about this? Well, there's a couple of things to know about apocalyptic prophecy. There's a decent amount of apocalyptic prophecy in the Old Testament, actually. It's one of the major kinds of prophecy. So Jesus isn't just making this stuff up, this way of speaking. He's using this way of speaking that was well known to the Jews at the time. And the way apocalyptic prophecies work is that there's usually images of some great cosmic upheaval. You know, the stars falling from heaven, the earth being shaken, the sun going out. This is common language for prophecies of the apocalypse. But the prophets use those images actually to refer to kings and empires of the earth falling. There's several different examples from the Old Testament, if you want to look into this. Prophecies about Babylon have all sorts of imagery about the sun falling and that sort of thing. The Old Testament prophets use these images symbolically to refer to political upheaval, great suffering, and chaos. And we still do this kind of thing today. When someone leaks an important document to the press that exposes some corruption, what do we call it? A bombshell document. You know, the papers don't literally explode. It's a metaphor that we use. You know, we speak of earth-shaking upheavals in the government or the world order. The prophets of the Old Testament did this too. They just were a little bit more colorful in their images. Another thing about apocalyptic prophecies is that they often refer to several different times at once. So a prophecy can be about the downfall of the Babylonian Empire, for instance, and about Jesus Christ, who ends the Old Covenant and begins the New Covenant. So there's an ending of the world there of sorts. And also about the final end of the world, which is to come. And because of this, and because of all the different symbols and images of cosmic upheaval, it's very difficult to determine exactly what an apocalyptic prophecy is about. And that's okay, because we're not supposed to sort of decode the prophets to get some kind of exact account of what the end of the world will look like. That's not what they're there for. You know, some Christians can get very bent out of shape about figuring out this code that they find in the prophets, and they're matching it up very point for point exactly with world events and what's happening and what's going to happen. And that's not what the prophecies are about. You know, we hear in our gospel that Jesus says, of that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. These aren't intended to be exact maps of what's going to happen. So back to Jesus. Did he say that the world was going to end within the first generation of Christians? Actually, no. As I said, apocalyptic prophecy is usually about the fall of kings and rulers. And perhaps, you know, when the final end of the world comes, there will actually be great signs in the sky and stars falling and whatnot. But the Old Testament precedents tell us that those are at least partly symbols of wars and political upheavals. And this whole chapter, Mark 13, Jesus has been talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It all began with the apostles talking about how beautiful the temple is, and Jesus saying, not one stone will be left upon another stone here. And he's been going on and talking about what's going to happen to the temple and Jerusalem. He's been foretelling this. The end of the old covenant is upon them. And Jesus says in our gospel that this destruction that he's been talking about, the destruction of the temple, the thing he's been talking about the whole chapter, will happen within the current generation. Well, in the Jewish understanding, a generation is 40 years. That was the length of time that they were in the desert, and that was the standard length of time of a generation. And we know that Jesus is speaking around the year 30 or 33 A.D. Well, in 70 A.D., 40 years from then, in 70 A.D., the Romans were cracking down on a Jewish rebellion that had been going on, and they lay siege to Jerusalem, and they burn the temple, and they topple the whole thing to the ground. Jesus' prophecy comes true. Okay, so that's cool. What does that have to do with us? What's the point for us of reading apocalyptic prophecies? What do they teach us? One main thing they teach us is not to place our hope in earthly things, but instead to hope in Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of history. So a lot of times, you know, we experience life as pretty stable and pretty safe. You know, things are going okay, society is friendly and predictable, our life is going well. And so we assume that things will continue to happen in this way. But then something unexpected happens. There's a natural disaster maybe, or a war, or some terrorist attack. Maybe on the more personal level, there's a tragic accident in the family, or a sudden heart attack, or early onset dementia, or cancer diagnosis, something like that. All sorts of things can pull the rug out from under us. All sorts of things can totally derail what we thought our whole life was going to be like. And if we have no expectation that this kind of thing might happen, when that happens, that can shake our faith. It can make us think that, well, there must be no God. Everything in life is just chaos. Having blind confidence that everything will be great with our life is foolish. It sets us up for a crisis of faith and maybe even a crisis of sanity. But on the other hand, there is certainly a danger in getting paranoid about every possible thing that could go wrong. There's a danger in getting depressed, thinking that no good thing is ever going to happen. There's a danger in despair, thinking that life is just too hard, the sufferings and pains that are probably going to come are just too great, and they cancel out any meaning that life could possibly have. Lots of danger in focusing too much on the difficulties and trials that could come in our life. So if you've got, you know, danger in being too confident, and you've got danger in despair on the other side, what should our attitude be? What is the Christian attitude toward the future with all its possible sufferings and tribulations? Well, the proper attitude is one of hope, but only a very deeply rooted hope, very deeply rooted. Because we can have hope in lots of things. You know, we can have hope in a politician, but they'll probably let you down. We can have hope in ourselves that we will keep our New Year's resolution this year, and you can see how that goes for you. We can have hope that this year the Vikings will win the Super Bowl, and I don't have to tell you how that will probably go. We need to have a hope that's rooted in something deeper. Particularly with apocalyptic prophecies, you know, they're dealing with the rise and fall of kings and empires. Many people in the old days put their hope in the Roman Empire. They had great hope in the Roman Empire. It was the biggest thing the world had ever seen, the most powerful, the most amazing. It would last forever. But it fell, and all their hopes were crushed. I'm sure the rebels in Jerusalem in the late 60s had great hope that they would defeat the Romans and establish the lasting kingdom of Israel for the rest of time. And that failed. All those hopes failed. Those people were crushed. In our own day, imagine if, for instance, the U.S. government fell, the panic that would ensue. If, say, an electromagnetic pulse destroyed all computers and electronics in the blink of an eye. Or, you know, if you follow some of the current shows on TV, The Walking Dead, imagine if there was some kind of zombie infestation. All our expectations of a stable, safe, and civil society would be thwarted. All our hopes would be dashed. Everything that we rely on and use and count on and know in our daily life would fail. Or just to bring a little closer to home, think of the thousands that have been displaced in California by the wildfires. And of course, we need to keep them in our prayers and assist them how we can. But imagine, maybe for some of them, that was their dream house that they'd been working on their whole life, saving for, improving it, decorating it as a hobby. Maybe it was the most important project they had going in their life. And then in the course of an hour, the house and the whole town is reduced to ash. All that they'd known and worked for and trusted in, gone in the blink of an eye. I think that would seem very apocalyptic indeed. We need a hope that is rooted in something deeper than the changing fortunes of economics, war, power, and politics, and the changing situations on earth. We need a hope that is more secure. And we find that hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. Jesus has promised that he will return on the last day, and his words are secure, no matter what else happens. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." No matter what suffering and chaos happens in our own personal lives or on the world stage, we know that at the end of it, Jesus will return and restore order and justice. He will come in glory, and his kingdom will have no end, we profess every Sunday in the Creed. He will establish his kingdom. For now, he is sitting, waiting until his enemies are made his footstool, as we heard in our reading from Hebrews. He's letting us have our time on the stage, but the show will end at some point, and he will return. It will end for us personally at our death, and someday the whole thing will end. Jesus Christ is all-powerful. We celebrate next Sunday the solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing is outside of his providence. And that's reason for great hope. As though there will be chaos and suffering for a time, we know how the story will end. We know that we place our hope not in any changing earthly thing. We place our hope deeper. We place our hope firmly in eternity and in the almighty power and promises of God. It's a source of great hope. As Jesus says in our gospel, "In the world you will have troubles, but take courage. I have overcome the world."